Buckle up, folks. Guitars up to 11. Sparks flying. Let's rip the bandage clean.
Did The Mandalorian and Grogu really need to hit the big screen? Or was it just a glorified TV episode?
Hey, Vixie Steele here, and I'm feeling pretty damn curious today. Let's get into it.
All right, table stakes first. The Mandalorian and Grogu. On screen, it just says The Mandalorian and Grogu. Drops in theatres May 22nd, 2026. Directed by Jon Favreau, co-written with Dave Filoni and Noah Klaw. Lucasfilm and Favreau's Fairview Entertainment making it, Disney distributing it. About 49 minutes, shot in full-frame IMAX. They pushed premium formats like 3D, 4DX, ScreenX, the whole sensory buffet. And listen, it even has opening credits, which for Star Wars is wild. No crawl, just straight into the vibe. To be fair, that's gutsy. Story-wise, we're post-Empire. Din Djarin and his little chaos gremlin Grogu are basically working with the New Republic now. Sigourney Weaver shows up as Ward, a colonel leading the Adelphi Rangers, and she sends them to the planet Shikari to pull Rotta the Hutt out of the mess. Yes, Jabba's kid from the Clone Wars, but now he's a bilingual bruiser who fights in an arena because, of course, we're reinventing Hutts. Jeremy Allen White voices him. He rumbles in basic and Huttese, which, honestly, gives the character some bite. Respect where it's due. The plot sprints. Djarin gets gifted a new Razor Crest up front, nostalgia unlocked. Then lands on Shikari and finds Rotta under Crime Lord Janu. Twist one, Janu is also Commander Coin, an Imperial Remnant middle manager with delusions of grandeur. Rotta refuses to be rescued because he wants one last fight to square a debt. Din throws down in the arena, spares Rotta, then a mega creature throws a tantrum and they barely make it out alive. That's your morality play beat. I mean, I swear, it's classic Mando Western samurai energy. Then the Hutt twins come in like old-school cartel hell, and bounty legend Embo, silent as a blade, snatches Djarin and hauls him to Nal Hutta. They toss him into a dragon-snake deathmatch. He escapes, but he's envenomated and circling the drain. Grogu sticks around, teams with a fisherman named Gatorri, fetches an antidote and saves Dad. See? This is why I still have hope. The little green menace graduates from mascot to partner right there.
Final act is a palace raid. Djarin versus droid walls, Embo duel, slick as hell. Grogu rips open Rotta's cell with the Force. Everything collapses into the dragon snake pit. Embo slips out through a tunnel. The twins get swallowed like karma on Fast Forward. And Ward's rangers show up late with the cavalry. Ward confirms the twins were tied with Janu. Neat little bow. And Rotta flips sides to help the New Republic. Din and Grogu fly off in that tricked out Razor Crest. And Din starts teaching the kid to pilot. Lone Wolf and cub energy intact.
Cast and craft, listen. Pedro Pascal is back. With Brendan Wayne and Lateef Crowder doing the in-suit glory, we do get an unmasking again. And yeah, no, they didn't blow it. It lands. Steve Bloom's Zeb pops in to help with the Shikari hit. Embo steals scenes without a word. Shirley Henderson does the Anzellan's machine gun banter while they soup up the Razor Crest. And Anthony Daniels sneaks in as a droid dispatcher. Not 3PO. Smart call. Oh, and Martin Scorsese voice cameos as an Ardenian shopkeeper. Meta as hell given his blockbuster rants. Ludwig Göransson's score? Slaps. Bigger orchestra, still that dusty swagger. Tippett Studio brings stop motion into the mix. Tactile as sandpaper. Respect.
Now the ugly business. Why a movie at all?
Back in 2023, the labour dispute stalled season 4. Favreau and Filoni had those scripts cooked, mate. Lucasfilm pivots. Dave becomes chief creative officer, greenlights a theatrical detour, and California slaps down roughly $21.8 million in tax credits. First Star Wars feature made entirely in California, big crews, stable schedules, Thunder Alley as the working title. From Disney's seat, this looks tidy. From a fan's seat, it's like, oh, this again. A spreadsheet romance with box office dreams. Marketing was chaos theatre. A cutesy Super Bowl 14 Budweiser Clydesdales parody with Sam Elliott's voice. Teaser in September 2025, dropping while Disney was catching heat about Jimmy Kimmel Live. People arguing it was a distraction, others saying chill. Then the real trailer in February 2026, with the Scorsese cameo, Zeb confirmation, Embo flashes, and yes, unmasked Din. By opening weekend, it does 100 million over 4 days. Lowest Star Wars opening since Solo, but still number one. By May 25th, worldwide sits around 163 million. Mixed critics, A- cinema score crowd. Golden trailer noms for the Hope campaign. That's the ledger.
So, here's my take, no sugarcoating. It should have stayed a series. 1. The IMAX push felt like TV Plus. Pretty, sure, but not earth-shaking. You can shoot 49 minutes tall and still not feel bigger if your frames are crowded like a streaming set. 2. The story plays like Stitched Arcs, Arena episode, Kid Saves Dad episode, Palace Raid episode. Good episodes, but episodes. 3. The theatrical badge didn't add new oxygen to Star Wars. It just moved Mando Day to a Friday night at the multiplex. I don't make the rules, but I do enforce them. If you want event cinema, you need real escalation, not just louder formats.
To be fair, Favreau promised the standalone newcomers could follow. And he delivered. People who never binged the show weren't lost, and the unmasking felt earned. Grogu growing up a bit and Hutt's reimagined. Rotter as a gladiator is a solid swing. But if you're dragging me into IMAX and charging premium large format money, give me compositions that melt my face off, not just fun pulp. Bloody hell, give me consequence I feel in my ribs.
Disagree? Good. Tell me I'm wrong. Hit the comments. Tell me the Dragon Snake Chomp and the Anzellan Pit crew made it worth the upcharge. Tell me Goranson's horns rattled your molars. I want to hear it. I'm not above changing my mind if you make a convincing case.
Personal story break. I once planned a tight, quiet birthday dinner. 8 people. Chill. Then some genius said, let's make it a surprise bash. Suddenly it's 40 heads, a rented smoke machine, and my mate's nan having an asthma attack while a cover band butchers war pigs. It was chaos. Bigger wasn't better. It was just louder and more expensive. The guest of honour slipped out to get tacos 2 blocks away. That's what happens when you mistake scale for soul.
Bloody hell, I'm riled up again. Listen, this whole bigger is better myth needs a Viking funeral. If the heart is there, we'll show up. If it's not, you can slap IMAX, ScreenX and a dancing Tauntaun on it and I'll still call bullshit. Stop upselling me vibes I already had at home. Give me substance or give me a streaming night in sweatpants, yeah?
Final flowers before I go. Pascal sells the soul. Grogu still owns the room. Weaver is steel as Ward. Tip of the hat to Tippett's hands-on magic. And Scorsese trolling blockbuster discourse by voice acting. That's the good shit right there. But corporate alchemy that says tax credits plus premium formats equals cinema, fuck that. Cinema is consequence, vision, and risk. Not a checklist.
All right, that's all I got. Go do something useful.
Come back tomorrow for more truth bombs. And if you're in a boardroom deciding between story and spectacle, pick the story. Or I swear I'll bring the dragon snake to your budget meeting. Fucking hell.